Welcome to Creative Mind Living, a podcast for personal growth based on the works of Carl Jung, neuroscience, and Eastern philosophies. We are your hosts, Deborah Berndt Maldonado and Dr. Rob Maldonado, founders of Creative Mind Coaching. Okay, Rob, how are you today?
Very well, thank you.
And we are talking today about a really interesting topic. Is the world real, or is it just a simulation? Are we in a computer simulation controlled by aliens, or are we really, is the world actually real? Yeah. And so we're going to tackle that topic. We don't shy away from the deeper topics. And so recently you said Elon Musk was asking this question.
Yeah, I don't know how recent, but I remember him in interview bringing up this idea that we're living in a computer-generated simulation. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not the only one. There have been other scientists and just people, kind of thinkers, mm-hmm. and thought leaders that have questioned or raised this question, because there does seem to be a type of computer code in nature, mm-hmm. that's creating the universe.
There's an intelligence that, yeah. But it feels like patterns, mm-hmm. or a matrix, and so they're thinking there must be some computer code that's running everything.
Yes,
and the computers actually run a lot like us and the world.
Yeah, yeah. So from our perspective, you know, Jung would say, well, what you're doing is you're tapping into the collective unconscious, and therefore you're seeing the universal mind, mm-hmm. Reflected in your own understanding of the universe.
So the matrix is not real. So that's kind of what they're thinking, is that there's some kind of matrix that computer, when you see that movie, that's what we're thinking, mm-hmm. is the, what the scientists are starting to ask that question. But we believe that there's something different happening.
Yeah, let's. I think that's the crux of the discussion, is how do we see it, and what is it that they're talking about?
Mm. Yeah. So what are they talking about?
Well, very.
What the heck are they talking
about? Yeah, very literally, if you think about computers, they present a screen to us, mm-hmm. on which then we see images and information. And it appears to be moving, mm-hmm. and providing this kind of intelligence outside of our own mind. Mm. So essentially what they're saying is that the universe, the way it appears to us, everything, stars, planets, quartz, all the physics, are essentially a computer-generated program. Mm.
And it kind of like on our computer, those images and video games.
Yes,
and stuff like.
Very much like if you think of pixels.
Oh, yeah.
The pixels make up the image of the screen. Mm-hmm. So they believe this universe, if you look at the quantum nature of it, they appear to be pixels that have information about the whole, mm-hmm. but that function in a certain way to produce the objects that we call the universe. So interesting phenomena, interesting place to be in science. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting time to be alive, no doubt.
But it's sort of devoid of any spiritual understanding.
You know, yeah.
Where you feel if that's what we are, then that would be really depressing for most people to think about, right?
Well, no, you know, it depends on what perspective you take. I mean, some people definitely see science as the new stage of evolution for humanity. Mm-hmm. You know, that we've outgrown religion, organized religion, the idea of gods or a god, and have evolved to this point where we use science as the main guide for our decisions, mm-hmm. as to who we are and what the nature of the universe is. Now, it's an interesting idea, but if you look at human history, humans have never lived like that. most of the time people have lived under what's called a theocentric universe, that at the heart of everything was a creator or creators, gods or a god. And that gave people, I think, a sense of security. Sure enough, you know, Jung talks about this in his psychology, that he believed humans by nature are religious in that we require that faith in something bigger, something outside of ourselves.
And meaning, like searching for meaning, basically.
Yes. So we definitely can see all those considerations and understand, okay, well, this is coming up. This idea of science and quantum mechanics and the question of are we kind of living in a matrix type of thing. And from our perspective, we see it a little bit differently because this is not a new idea, believe it or not. It's a very ancient idea. It goes back to what we know to be the Upanishads and the Vedas, which, I mean, it depends on what source you look at, but they literally go back at least 5,000 years and probably even longer if you consider oral traditions. And they had this idea a long time ago, and it's called Maya.
You know, when you told me about Maya, everything started to make sense to me because I learned a lot of spiritual knowledge, higher knowledge from the Upanishads and from just non-duality and also the idea of non-attachment and these really great basics, how to live a better, happier life. But when we started talking about Maya and started teaching about Maya, it just opened up a new realm of understanding for me. And so really, truly, this is the heart of what we teach, is that the world that we experience is very similar to the world we experience in a dream. And Maya means the dance, doesn't it?
Yes, it has. It has no direct translation. That's why people still use the term Maya, which is a Sanskrit word. But the closest translations refer to movement, to magic, to enchantment, in a sense, right? To like a illusion. And so if we put it all together, what it's talking about is that this movement that we experience in life, and if you notice, everything moves in life.
Nothing lasts. Nothing stays the same.
Nothing stays permanent or the same for even an instant. Everything's in this continual flux, this dance of life. That's what they called Maya, this phenomena. In other words, everything we see in the universe, the phenomenal universe, including our thoughts and emotions, are Maya.
Our state of mind, if we think about it, from one moment to the next, something can trigger some happy moment or sad feeling. And so we're constantly always moving. Our life, our bank account keeps moving up and down. Money flows in and out. Our bodies change. A meal is a beautiful meal doesn't last. So we have this sort of a battle within ourselves. Our ego wants to kind of lock onto things, but the nature of reality and our experience is very transient. And so we have that battle going on with wanting to hang on, but the nature of it is like wind. The wind just keeps moving and carrying us and dancing in life. So when we think of Maya, how does that contrast to the computer simulation?
I would say that the primary difference between what the West has, or some of the ideas that the West is arriving at through quantum mechanics and through perception, the science of perception, and the ancient wisdom traditions that are still very much alive, right, because people are still practicing and teaching them. The difference is this, that in the West, in the scientific paradigm, it's all seen as information to be understood intellectually. We're looking for a formula. We're looking for evidence of something that's out there to understand intellectually. Whereas in the wisdom traditions, It was all about having a direct experience of it.
Internally. So in the science, it's about observation of the external world. And in true spirituality is observation of the internal world. And so we're turning the camera on us inside.
Yes.
And the light goes within versus yes. looking out there for the formulas and the answers. If you're enjoying this conversation and do not want it to end, it doesn't have to. You can join us on our Facebook fan page at Creative Mind Method and continue the conversation. Get tools, free visualizations, free downloads, and announcements of live events and new courses that we're hosting. So join us after the show at Creative Mind Method on Facebook. See you there.
And that makes a world of difference, of course, because, yeah, we can have the formula and understand it, just like we can understand that everything in the universe is one.
Mm-hmm.
And even in science, they talk about the Big Bang Theory,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially states that if you collapse everything, like if you run the movie of creation backward, it all goes back to one little point,
mm-hmm.
tinier than the head of a needle.
Mm.
So that in itself is kind of saying, well, everything is one, essentially. Mm-hmm. Everything is connected. But that leaves us cold, like you say, you know, so what? It's mm-hmm. just another theory, another idea.
Mm-hmm.
In Eastern philosophy and in the Upanishads, the whole idea was to realize that you are experiencing Maya so that you can understand the meaning of your life and the phenomenal universe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is it important?
Why is it important?
Well, because if you think about it, why do we suffer?
Mm.
Because we are always looking for that impermanent movement, the Maya, to give us happiness.
Yeah.
And if it's always changing and moving, how can it give us happiness?
Like happiness can't last if it's dependent upon something that we perceive externally from us.
That's
so
right.
There's this this idea in Eastern philosophy. It's like the joy that's underneath, the abiding joy, and it's really that joy that's always there, and then the Maya or our ego is covering it up, and then we look out there for looking for that joy to be stimulated when it's actually right inside of us.
That's right.
And so if our mind is holding ideas of not joy, of suffering, of frustration, we're going to see in Maya play out in the dance of life that what matches what's inside. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the idea of, you know, a lot of people think about the law of attraction and they think, mm-hmm. you know, my mind is magnetizing this illusory world out there and we're connected, but there's still this like mind that is magnetizing something to come in. And so what we're saying is that that's not actually what's happening, because that is actually coming from the materialistic standpoint.
Very much so. Anytime you see multiplicity, meaning division,
mm-hmm.
that you feel yourself to be separate from the object that you're perceiving, you're in delusion, essentially, based on the Upanishads.
Mm-hmm.
You're in Maya, basically. You're buying into the illusory dance of Maya.
It's like a mirage. You see in a dream, you have a dream and you think, I got to grasp this thing. Have you ever woken up from a dream because you're grabbing something or turning something or falling and catching yourself? And it's that illusion that that's real. And then we wake up and we have to do that in our waking life to see. It's not that it's not real, like that there's nothing, but it's not as real as we think it is. And it's not as solid as we think it is. And when we break it down into, even science has broken matter down, they can't really find that solid matter. But they also say that our perception, the observer creates a change, can change the matter, can change that perception. But it is, again, a projection versus my mind is like infiltrating something out there. Now, another thing, too, that comes to mind for me is alchemy. A lot of times the alchemists would work with material to change their life or change the materials.
Sure.
And they said they would mix the gold and the metal and certain substances. But the true alchemists knew that the transformation happened in their mind. that the actual experience of the transformation in the bowl or whatever they're creating had to start with the mind, not actual the chemicals that were being mixed. So that's kind of the same idea, that the Maya is reflective of the mind versus independent or separate from the mind.
Yes, because it raises the question then, if we are experiencing Maya, then why should we act at all?
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, as long as you have a body, you're compelled to act.
Mm.
In other words, we cannot take action off the table. Yes, you can go to a cave, obviously, and withdraw from the world, but even that is an action and a decision. You're taking a very direct action. And so the question then becomes this: if indeed we are in this Maya, in this illusory dance of the world, that is, it's absolutely happening, meaning we're not saying it's not, it's that we're not experiencing it.
Like we experience a dream, we can't deny it. It's exactly. Not that it never happened.
We're experiencing it, but the nature of that experience is illusory, meaning our mind is generating it, our mind is creating it. It is essentially a conscious experience that we're having. Then the question about action and what action do we take takes on a different perspective,
mm-hmm.
right? We're going to work along with Maya and act along with Maya, but with the right understanding. Because if we think that it's something separate from us,
mm-hmm.
then we're caught in the delusion.
Well, it's like we said, we always say that if when the world was flat, people acted differently. And then when we realized the world was round, our world changed. We started traveling and exploring outside of the ocean, you know, going out past the Strait of Gibraltar and thinking you're not going to fall off or the sea monsters aren't going to kill us. That whole perspective of if we understand the nature of what we're dealing with, then there's more we can get out of it. And, you know, I think the one thing that really blew my mind, I think you and I've had these discussions, that really stood out for me is that there's no other place we can experience ourselves. Maya, because it has the illusion of separation, it gives us all these different perspectives. When we're one with the divine or the high, one consciousness, there's nothing to reflect it off of. So really, truly, this is what all we have to experience the divine in ourselves is Maya. So a lot of people think, well, one day I'll die and go to heaven and then everything will be perfect. But we're still in some state of Maya, even if there's another realm to what we're experiencing.
Yeah.
It's still that Maya dance. And so in a way, it can feel a little groundless, you mm-hmm. know, where we feel this nervousness of what I think is solid and real. Like, I want to go to a destination. I want to go to heaven and stay there. And God's going to take care of me and everything's going to be fine. This little house, or as they say in that one show, the mansion, everyone gets their own mansion. But I think the power and the most beautiful thing about this is the creativity. We get to create something. And it's not out of need. It's not out of survival, but it's out for the joy of creation. I mean, why did God or the universal mind create this world? I mean, look how beautiful the earth is. It's a beautiful place. It's so much perfection in it. The universe and the stars and those pictures are taken from the Hubble telescope with all these, galaxies. And it's just an incredible world that our consciousness has created. It's beautiful.
Very much so. Yeah, so it would be unfair for us to leave people kind of with that sense of groundlessness.
Yes, we won't.
So here's the other point that the Upanishads make is that there are actually two important concepts to understand. Maya is the phenomenal universe. And so if we ask, well, you're saying that this experience, this waking experience that I have of the so-called physical universe is very much like a dream. And a dream to me is not real, right? So they're saying, aren't you saying that this is not real mm-hmm. as well? And the Upanishads, the Upanishads would say, yes, we're saying that the dream is not real and that this perception that you have of the physical universe is not real as well. But it doesn't leave us there. In other words, it's not nihilism. It's not saying there's nothing. What it's saying is, if we ask the obvious question, then what is real? Mm. And is there a reality?
What's the real real?
Yeah. And the Upanishads have this incredible answer. And the answer is that your awareness of both the dream and this experience is what's real.
Oh, yes. Right. Love that. Yeah. It's the awareness that is everlasting. It's the awareness that is that it think about it as a screen, and the movie that plays is the Maya, and the awareness, that screen that it plays upon, is our that deeper awareness. So let's take them through just a brief exercise. Okay. And I want you to just get in touch with your immortal self right now, the absolute reality, and then we'll talk a little bit more. So just sit with yourself. You can open your eyes, close your eyes, drive, whatever. You can do this anywhere, and think about what part of you is aware that you're listening to us right now. There's a part that's listening, that's saying, oh, that's interesting, and you're having thoughts around it, but that there's another part of you that's kind of in the back of your mind, it's like kind of watching, going, oh, I'm thinking about this, and that you're aware that you're thinking. That awareness is you. So if you could just kind of take a step back. Usually what I do is I physically move back, or imagine there's another me back here that's watching Debbie perform in the world. And that kind of connection to that part of us is our pure awareness. And that's what's real. And they also call it the absolute reality. Yeah. So there's an apparent reality, which is the Maya, and then the absolute reality, which is our divine self. Now, how does knowing this help someone, live a more fulfilling life? How do we use this information?
Well, first of all, it liberates us from that intense suffering that we experience because of depending on the Maya. We're always suffering loss, mm-hmm. and transience, and mm-hmm. impermanence.
So it's like we're resisting it, right? We resist aging. We resist people leaving us. We yes. resist change.
That's right. If you notice, our ego mind wants predictability, permanence, stability, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what Maya cannot give you. It cannot give you that because it's in constant flux and, mm-hmm. and movement and change. But we always insist that we think, well, if I just get the right job, if I get the right amount of money, if I get the right partner and the right house, I'll be happy somehow. But it lasts for a brief instant, perhaps, when you attain those things, and then it changes mm-hmm. because that's the nature of Maya. And so if you're depending on those things, you're always suffering. You're always creating more and more suffering for yourself and others. Whereas when you understand it and you're able to take action, but with the correct understanding that you're working in Maya, you're moving in Maya, those things are not going to give you happiness. That there is happiness, but it comes from within the self. Hmm. From the self is the one that is aware, the one that is blissful and happy already. You don't have to depend on Maya.
And so you can have that state, and then the Maya can actually be more enjoyable. A lot of people think, well, if I go the spiritual route, I want to be rich, and I want to have a hot relationship, and I want to have a car, and I want to travel, and I want to do all these earthly things. There's places for those desires. But when we do it because we're caught up in fear, we're not going to enjoy them. And if we do get them, we're going to afraid we lose them. But if we know that we're in Maya, then it's kind of like if you've ever had an experience of a lucid dream, where you are conscious in a dream and you know it's a dream, but it feels so orgasmic. It feels very numinous. And you wake up with that kind of lightness, and there's some levity to your life, and it's just beautiful. And that's, imagine waking up in this dream and having that be your reality.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, absolutely.
So let's leave you with this. I want you to think about that awareness. I want you to think about the movement of life. and really ask yourself the question, the thing that is really harming me in life right now, the frustration I'm having, the results I'm not getting, the unhappiness that I'm getting, is based on the idea that something is solid out there that's going to make me happy. And it's such a hard concept because we're conditioned to be this way. But if we start asking ourselves, how can I find happiness? And then the happiness will come outside and reflect in the things in the world versus the world is going to give me that. Then we'll start to see a change. Mm-hmm. Because when you go into a dream, the dream is just bringing to you what's in your mind. So it's the same thing with the waking world. It's bringing to you what's in your mind. So if you can get in touch and practice that pure awareness, you will naturally cultivate more joy in your life. And then more things that come, the way you perceive the world and the way you experience the world will be with more joy.
Yes. And decide today to pursue this higher knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's available to us now. And we're the first generation to have access to all the information, all the knowledge in the world. Let's take advantage of it.
And there's some great books on the Upanishads. I love Eckhart Eshwaran. He does a lot of good translations for that. He just passed away recently. He's a modern person who did the interpretation. He's not a monk, so it has a little more Western feel to it. He wrote about the Gita and the Upanishads. And I would really encourage you to just check them out and listen. And it really has some great information. And a lot of people who've read Think and Grow Rich or The Science of Getting Rich with Wallace Wattles, it's all based on this philosophy. The Secret, actually, the movie, is based on a deeper philosophy, except they got it all wrong because the people that did the movie were coming from a materialistic standpoint. They missed the mark there on that. But the whole concept of you can create your own reality is true. But they kind of missed the mark with showing beautiful necklaces and cars. And it's a material universe that there's some kind of magnet that comes and attracts things in. So now it's the next level. It did a lot for the personal development field. It made people more aware and question their life and, you know, change the way they perceive the world. And now this is the next level. This is seeing things on a more higher perspective than the materialistic. Yeah. So the answer to the question, is the world real? Or is it a simulation? What's the answer?
The answer is Maya.
It's Maya. Great. And there is a real reality to the world, the pure reality, which is the absolute reality, which is our awareness of ourselves and our awareness of the world. And it's right inside of us right now. We're aware that we're aware. So you're already all enlightened. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we'll see you on the next show.
See you next time.